You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we focus on part of the letter written by Paul to the believers living in Philippi. That place today is located in Greece. As we proceed, notice how Paul told them about himself, about his greatness, about who he was. And then notice how, as the reading progresses, by God's grace, Paul had all of his confidence in Jesus Christ and none of his confidence in who he was and all the great things that he had accomplished. Regarding himself, Paul wrote these words, "If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more." So think about what he's saying there. He's saying, if anyone can get to heaven because of who they are or what they have done, I'm the guy. So let's see if Paul can get there. He has quite a list here. He said to them, circumcised on the eighth day. In the Bible, in Leviticus chapter 12, the Lord says, circumcise on the eighth day. That was Paul. Of the people of Israel. So God chose the people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, through whom he would bring the Messiah. Paul was of those people. Of the tribe of Benjamin. So not just of the people of God, but of the tribe of Benjamin. That is the tribe from which the first king of Israel came, whose name was Saul. And here he is, named after that first king from his tribe. Very significant. A Hebrew of Hebrews. No kind of a mixed thing here with Paul. He wasn't a mutt. Rather, he had a purebred Hebrew mom and a purebred Hebrew dad. They could trace the lineage all the way back to Abraham. That was Paul. As to the law, a Pharisee. So he was a member of the strictest sect among the Jews. Very significant. As to zeal, he was a persecutor of the church. So Paul looked things over. He thought about Christ. He thought about the people following Christ. And he came to the conclusion that they were perverting the Old Testament laws. And he's going to do something about it. And in fact, he did. And he got orders from the government. He went around. He arrested people for the purpose of putting them to death. So he didn't just see the problem. He took very strong action. And then, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. So in his eyes, in Paul's eyes, he followed all the rules. Pretty tough to rise up above who Paul was and what he did. What about us? Do we have our own lists when we think about our own goodness and our accomplishments? Here's a list that I could give. I was baptized as an infant. I have relatives within my family who serve as pastors. I attend divine service. I go to Bible class. I give money. I try to serve the Lord in my life in various ways. And I try to follow what the Bible says. Did you notice anything that stands out in that list? 7 times I said the word I. I. It's all about me, isn't it? Is that how we get to heaven? Well, some people, if they have enough eyes, they think that's somehow going to be okay. But what does the Bible say? A couple passages here real quick. There are so many we could give. But in Romans 3, it says, by the works of the law, no flesh, in other words, no person, will be justified in God's sight. And then over in Galatians 2, a person is not justified by works of the law. So it's excluding all people in that category. In fact, over in Galatians 3, it says, anyone who takes that path, they are automatically cursed And the reason why they're cursed, because no one can successfully follow that path. Everyone is going to fall short. In fact, everyone has fallen short before they even start down the path. Nevertheless, I have some sad information to share with you from a very recent Pew Research poll. It says in the poll that 52% of U.S. Protestants, so keep in mind, the Lutherans are the first of the Protestants, and there are many others that came after Lutherans to also be Protestants. Now, why a Protestant? We are protesting that the Catholic Church is teaching the wrong way to heaven. That's what a Protestant is. But yet the research poll says that now 52% of U.S. Protestants believe that both faith and works are necessary for salvation. They've thrown out the whole reason why to be a Protestant. They've gone back to the Catholic Church. The problem is that does not agree with the Bible. Anyone who's holding to faith plus works, the problem is they have dropped Jesus Christ. You can't hold on to faith and works and hold on to Jesus Christ at the same time. It's impossible. So that means at least 52% of the ones who took this poll do not have Christ, do not have God's forgiveness, do not have the gift of eternal life, and are not going to heaven if they die in that state. A very sad thing. I came across a paper going through my files recently, and it's a poll that was taken more years ago than this one. And it said that 54% of Lutherans believe they have to do something in order to get to heaven. Again, that fits right in here. If you're believing that, then you're not really a Lutheran, and you're certainly not a Christian, and you're not a child of God. These are things that the Bible makes so clear, and yet so many hang on to these things that they have done, just like Paul was doing. Also, too, in the poll, it said that only 30% of U.S. Protestants believe in both faith alone and Scripture alone. In other words, 70% of Protestants living in the U.S. say that faith alone is not enough, and Scripture alone is not enough for the truth. We need to bring in other information, too, outside of Scripture in order to have salvation. Those are very sad things, because faith alone in Christ is enough, and Scripture tells us everything we need to know about sin and salvation. Let's go on to some good news that God worked in Paul's life. Paul continued, picking up in verse 7 of Philippians 3. But whatever gain I had, in other words, whatever gain I had, from who I was, how I was born, and all the good things in my life, from whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Try to imagine this situation and see if you can understand it a little bit. So let's say in your hands right now you have $1,000 cash. It's a windy day. You're hanging onto it tightly. You don't want it to blow away. And then imagine someone coming up to you and saying, I want to make a trade with you. I'm holding on to $100,000 cash, and I'd like to make an even trade with you, my $100,000 for your $1,000. How quickly would you let that $1,000 go in order to grab the $100,000? Probably a no-brainer, right? Well, in a sense, that's what Paul did by grace, and in a spiritual sense, he was hanging on to all that stuff so tightly, thinking, this is who I am, this is what I've done, this will get me to heaven. And as soon as God showed him that those things were not true, by the grace and power of God, he immediately let it go, and he grabbed on to Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, and he did that when he was baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. I remember visiting a family years ago, and I found out that they were hanging on to what they had done for heaven. So we talked for a while, we opened the scriptures together, and finally the lady said to me, oh, now I understand what you're saying, that the way to heaven according to the Bible is by Christ. So she said to me, now I have to make a decision. Am I going to hang on to what I was hanging on to, or am I going to receive Jesus Christ? It didn't seem like a decision to me. In other words, she was saying, am I going to hang on to what I have and go to hell, or am I going to receive Jesus Christ and go to heaven? But she made it like it was a hard thing to decide what to do. The formula of Concord says that a person's works are not only useless and a hindrance, but they are also harmful. This is not the fault of the good works themselves, but of the false confidence placed in the works, contrary to God's word. So it's always so important to keep a sharp distinction between what we are doing and Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done. Going on in Paul's letter, he wrote, "For the sake, that is, for the sake of Christ, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law." In other words, I made all these attempts, but they were unsuccessful attempts. The law could not save me, but a righteousness that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So the Lord opened Paul's eyes to see that what he was hanging on to could not save him. It was actually worthless. And then by God's grace, he embraced Jesus Christ. In the reading there, it says that Paul counted all those things he was hanging on to as rubbish. Another way to translate there, we could say what he was hanging on to was garbage. So if you went out into the narthex, went to the wastebasket, picked up a handful of stuff, that would be garbage. Or maybe if you reached into your kitchen wastebasket, it might be a little bit more nasty. It was garbage. But another way to translate that Greek word is to translate it dung. So imagine using the toilet, reaching down into the toilet, and picking something up out of it. Would you want to do that? Would you want to hang on to that? By no means. Paul was saying that the things he was hanging on to, these high qualifications that he had, these amazing things that he had done, in his way of looking at it, those were like crap. But yet we live in a world where I just shared from the Pew Research poll that most Protestants are hanging on to that kind of stuff to get them into heaven. And when it comes to the non-Protestants, they're almost all hanging on to that stuff to get them into heaven. What utter foolishness. If you can see the difference right now between what most people are hanging on to and what God says, you should know that you are of a very, very small percentage of people in the world who actually know God's truth and have the gift of eternal life. Not very many people are in that category. Paul went on to say, picking up in verse 10, that I may know him, that is, to know Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings. As Jesus suffered from all kinds of unbelievers, Paul was willing to do the same, becoming like Christ in his death, that I, by any means possible, may obtain the resurrection from the dead. So Paul could see where he was, he could see how valuable where he was now, and he was willing to basically go forward and do whatever in order to continue in Christ. Paul knew that this life is not the end. Paul was willing to suffer as a follower of Jesus Christ, and Paul was determined that he was going to show love for others in the name of Christ, even if it was at great cost to him. May God help our Christian lives to show those very same things, never for heaven, but only for the glory of God in this life. And then going on in verse 12, Paul wrote, "Not that I have already obtained the resurrection from the dead, or am already perfect, living without sin, but I press on, as God empowers me by the Spirit, to make the resurrection of the dead my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own." What was Paul saying? Was he saying, hey, I'm not quite sure if I'm saved or not, but I'm pressing on in that direction? By no means. Paul was saying, I have the gift of eternal life. Paul was saying, I don't yet have the fullness of eternal life. So yes, as I'm living my life, I still stumble and fall into sin. I'm not yet in the glory of God on a permanent basis, but I know I have his precious gifts now, and I'm looking forward in the future when Christ comes to having the fullness of those great blessings. God wants us to live in that way too. And then finally he said, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. So forgetting about the worldly things, forgetting about the things that used to be so important to me, forgetting what lies behind and straining or stretching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So for people who know Jesus, life isn't necessarily easy, but they're living in this constant tension. So on one side, they're fighting the forces of evil. On the other side, they have perfect peace with God in Jesus Christ. Consider this quote from the Lutheran Study Bible. We strain against our own sinful nature and against the world and the devil, even while our soul is at peace under God's promises and grace. Let us know that right now in Christ, we are very, very blessed. But let us also know that the greatest, greatest blessings are yet to come. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, receive our thanks for the precious gifts of spiritual sight, full forgiveness, and the promise of the fullness of eternal life. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.